to the Movie Planet's bonus show. All of the bloopers, outtakes, and discussions that have nothing to do with the movie of the week, well, we decided, let's make a show of that too. Enjoy.
Oh.
Did you just come across it?
No, I'm on something else. I'm on some other shit now.
Oh. Welcome to the rabbit hole.
Okay, I love all the other ones. Love, you know, these 90s runs.
Yeah.
But Tony Scott, Last Boy Scout, True Romance, Crimson Tide, The Fan, Enemy of the State, Days of Thunder, and Revenge.
His name wasn't even listed.
No.
That is shameful, because yes. That's a great list.
That's a great run.
At the least, they're entertaining.
Yes.
And I maintain Days of Thunder is wildly underrated.
Yeah. There's a great, I haven't finished watching the video essay, but about how Days of Thunder changed the entertainment industry.
Like, that's the thesis. Tom Cruise does this every 5 years. Yes. That's just what he's here for. He's here to just change the industry every now and then. Oh, I cut this off. Oh, man.
What?
No, I had a window open that I accidentally closed it. And it was for my question of Meryl Streep. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
It's going to be hard for her to be underrated.
I agree.
I mean, she's very highly rated.
I agree.
Okay.
Is she properly rated or overrated?
Okay.
And I maintain that she is wildly overrated.
Oh, my.
Okay. Wildly. I have never been impressed with a performance. And I don't know if that's because I've been told by the Hollywood elite that she's the greatest actress on the planet. Mm-hmm. And I keep waiting for it and I don't see it. And maybe it's because the bar is too high in my mind at this point that I have her at, but I've never seen a movie where I've been like, yep, she's the greatest. She got a lot of love for Sophie's Choice.
There are a lot of really strong films in her filmography.
There are strong movies, yes.
Yes.
As a total. But are they great performances? Or is the vehicle just that good? Because Robert Downey Jr. was a great performance in a pretty lackluster movie in Tropic Thunder.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the bar of difficulty, right, that you are crossing to not screw up a good to great movie? Do you have to be good to great in that film in order to not fuck it up? Or can you just be passable?
So are we saying Meryl Streep is passable? So
I can't remember who it's attributed to. Let
me see. Because I was still trying to give her flowers with properly rated or overrated, but passable?
Oh, oh no. So my boy, Howard Hawks,
okay,
once said that a movie is three good scenes and no bad ones. To have a good movie, that's your requirement. And basically,
I can understand the argument.
Yeah, if you have a killer opening, a killer ending, and something good in the middle for people to hang on to, you can send them out of the theater and they'll be happy. Is Meryl Streep just have to be like fine in a movie and gets plaudits because the movie was that good and well written? Is she just a good? Does she have a good manager? Is she a good businesswoman who picks good films?
I would go, instead of saying that she's overrated as an actress, I would say she is underrated as someone who chooses projects.
Okay.
Because the projects she chooses, you know, there's a wide range of them. She did She-Devil, for God's sakes.
Right.
You know, Death Becomes Her. These are not the greats of the greats. But then she has movies like Adaptation. She's got movies like Manchurian Candidate. She's got Devil's Wear Product, which is great. Mamma Mia. But there's nothing there. The Iron Lady. You know what? The Iron Lady was pretty damn close to me going, that was a great performance. Holy shit.
I loved her in The Post.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was a very strong performance and kind of made the movie work for me. Doubt.
Okay. All right.
She's really impressive in that. She was not the most impressive thing in The Hours. Bridges of Madison County. She's great, but does it surpass? Yeah. She's really good.
Postcards from the Edge.
Yes.
She's great in that, playing Carrie Fisher. But I think Carrie Fisher would have done better. And when I think about, and maybe I should say this, when I think about great actresses, especially ones today, one of the first ones that comes to mind is Cate Blanchett.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Great actress. She's got a wide range. I'm never unimpressed with stuff that she does. And I don't hold her to some weird standard like I do Meryl Streep, because what everybody's told me at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think, okay, if you have a role that both of these people could go to, or you'd want to see either of these two go after, who would I rather watch? I'd rather watch Cate Blanchett, because I feel like she would nail it harder than Meryl Streep. And I don't know if this depends on my own biases or not.
Okay. So I want to pull up. Where do we have acting credits and awards?
You know what? Olivia Colman, another one where I'm I love Olivia Colman.
And Olivia Colman, not that Meryl Streep hasn't, because she has, Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks.
Yes.
It's like some straight comedy stuff, but Olivia Colman has done a wide variety of things, from a sitcom to heavy drama.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and that's another one. I'm like, I would put Olivia Colman over Meryl.
So between 78 and 2017, Streep has racked up 21 Oscar nominations.
Right.
21 in a, what is that, almost 40-year period?
Yes.
Okay.
She's won 3 Oscars, I believe.
Okay. Oh, yes. For Kramer versus Kramer, Sophie's Choice, and The Iron Lady.
Others who have won 3 Oscars.
Yes.
Is there anybody else who's won 3 Oscars?
Yes.
I mean, Tom Hanks did. I believe they were 3 in a row, weren't they?
Oh, did it? Yeah, that sounds right.
It was Forrest, Philadelphia, and... Oh, maybe he was nominated for another movie and he didn't win it.
Katherine Hepburn, Jack Nicholson, Ingrid Bergman, Daniel Day-Lewis, Frances McDormand, and Walter Brennan.
Yeah, I'm looking at her Academy Awards right now. Particularly, what's her name? Meryl Streep's. Mm-hmm. Go slower, computer. Press the wrong button again. Damn it.
Tom Hanks has won 2, by the way.
2. Okay. Then he was nominated the 3rd year in a row and he didn't win it.
Okay.
3 Oscars. Okay. Click the link. Come on. Who's a big boy?
You can do it.
I feel like Dr. Hammond now. Who? Come on. Come on. Come on.
On Stagecoach Justice, we did talk about Walter Brennan winning 3 for supporting actor. He's the only person to win 3 multiple awards for supporting actor.
Okay.
Yeah, which is interesting. Or 3, at least. Michael Caine has won a couple as well, I think.
So the first win was Kramer versus Kramer. Mm-hmm. Second win was Sophie's Choice.
Yes.
And third win was...
Iron Lady.
Yeah. And Iron Lady, I think of those 3, I liked her best in that. Mm-hmm. But I also love it when, like, I love the performance because Margaret Thatcher is, we have footage of her. We've seen it.
Right.
And it's a lot like why I like Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill. He was fantastic in that. Mm-hmm. There's something about portraying those characters because they're so, we know who they are. You can't lie about this. You can't, right. You can't fake an imitation. We know who they are, and they both nailed it. But you got a nominee for Music of the Heart. Shut the fuck up. This is just, no, we're sucking Streep's dick at this point.
Julia and Julia,
I out of Africa. Stop it. Into the Woods. Why? Because she sang Jesus.
I'm surprised that anybody got anything for that.
It was nominated. She was nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role for Into the Woods.
Okay.
Because Meryl made a movie that year. Yeah. It's the John Williams law. John Williams does a movie. You got to nominate him.
I'm assuming Florence Foster Jenkins was also the same kind of thing.
Kind of, sort of.
Where they were just like, why not?
Yeah. It's the honorary award. I remember them making a joke once at the Academy Awards, like, Meryl's here, which means she's nominated for something.
Right.
And there she is in the front row every time, giggling, I'm not that great. You're right.
So I'm going to go with lightly overrated.
Okay.
Yes. Not wildly overrated, because she does have a lot of strong stuff. Mm-hmm. But I would have to do a dive and actually, like, come up with my feelings in each of these things that I see her in.
Okay.
At the time.
There's an actress we're going to talk about a little bit later, who I think is a better actress.
Okay.
Who's been nominated 3 times, but has never won.
Got it.
Okay. And that's Laura Linney.
Laura Linney, who, according to one of the hosts of the podcast Film Spotting, big fan. This was
years, I remember that from a long time ago.
Yeah, this was years ago. It's still going on WBEZ in Chicago. But one of them referred to Laura Linney as an age-appropriate character delivery device.
What a misogynistic thing to say. Yeah. She's simply a device. I can watch Laura Linney in anything. I think she can play everything. And I've never been unimpressed with anything she's done.
Really?
Absolutely. She brings it in every performance. You never feel like she's sleepwalking through anything. And my question actually with Laura Linney, because we skipped to that, is Laura Linney versus Michelle Pfeiffer. Who had the better career?
I mean, it's...
Because Michelle Pfeiffer was also nominated for 3 Oscars.
Okay. It's kind of not fair, because Linney is still bringing stuff. She's in Suncoast as of this year, which just dropped, I think.
Let's see here. Suncoast is 2024, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen yet. It keeps popping up on my screen, on my streaming service.
Yep.
Let's see, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, you know, she's done acting for the most part, unless Marvel keeps resurrecting her for Ant-Man. She started back in 79 on TV series. Her first movie was The Hollywood Knights.
Oh.
You familiar?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yep.
Does that as Susie Q. Then her next movie is Falling in Love Again, another very average movie. Then in 81 does Charlie Chan and the Curse of the Dragon Queen. And you're sitting there going, what, where's this going? Does Grease 2.
Right.
And then hits with Scarface.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, who is this? Lady Hawk, which... You can take or leave. But The Witches of Eastwick.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Married to the Mob does good. Tequila Sunrise. Dangerous Liaisons. Fabulous Baker Boys. And this is when she's in her hotness run.
Right. Don't forget Into the Night.
Did I miss that?
Yes. Which is...
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. A thriller with Jeff Goldblum. I watched it last year sometime.
Mm-hmm.
really fun, underrated little 80s thriller.
Yeah. Russia House, Frankie and Johnny does Catwoman and destroys that entire movie. I love the fact that there's still video of her using the whip and knocking out mannequins. Age of Innocence. Wolf is back. Dangerous Minds.
Oh, yeah.
Starts the entire I'm the teacher going to change the kids in the hood situation. She starts that movie as a female.
Okay, okay.
Because we all know it was, what's his name?
Edward James Olmos.
Thank you. Orly. I fuck you up, Orly. Up Close and Personal. One Fine Day. 1,000 Acres. She does a voice on The Prince of Egypt. Story of What Lies Beneath. She's creepy in that.
There we go.
Fuck.
There we go. We hit a roadblock.
I Am Sam. But she's not the problem in I Am Sam.
No.
Sean Penn's the problem.
Yes.
She was in Hairspray. Did you ever see Stardust?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Don't you feel like Stardust, like, is one of those movies that shouldn't be swept under the rug because it's a really fun movie,
yeah,
but no one wants to acknowledge it exists?
But I'm a sucker for it. It's a Neil Gaiman. It's based on a Neil Gaiman.
Yes.
Who I love. My first tattoo, Neil Gaiman. Wasn't a picture of Neil Gaiman. That's weird. It was just
Neil Gaiman. It's a headshot.
Yeah. And directed by Matthew Vaughn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the point where with Stardust 2007, this is where she's like, I'll take anything. I just want to have fun at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I look and she did Mother.
Oh yeah.
She was Murderer in the Orient Express. She goes, I'll do Ant-Man. Why the hell not? It looks like fun. And she has fun in the role. Maleficent. The First Lady. She's Betty Ford in a TV series. So I look at Michelle Pfeiffer's career, and although it is nearly over, I mean, she's now just doing the Ant-Man movies and that's about it. I look at Laura Linney's beginning and it parallels it pretty similarly. She does a bunch of TV shit. Okay. Her first movie was Lorenzo's Oil.
Lorenzo's Oil is a arguably stronger
start
than Hollywood Nights and whatever else.
Yeah. But then TV movie, Dave, Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Yeah.
You know, Tales of the City, which miniseries. And I'm like, okay, Law and Order here. Did Congo. A little rough there. But then Primal Fear.
Yeah.
And Truman Show. And she has this run of just movies that no one's watched, but she doesn't stop. She hasn't phoned it in.
Right.
Mothman Prophecies.
I love that movie.
Mystic River. Kinsey, even. Jesus Christ, she's great in Kinsey.
She has the perhaps most, to me, the most heartbreaking part in Love Actually.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Even more than Emma.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
She's married to Alan Rickman in the movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What the fuck is her name? I was going to say Roberts, but that's somebody else.
Yeah.
It's not Emma Stone. It's not Emma Roberts. It's not Emma
Watson.
Emma Watson?
Watson?
That's Hermione Granger.
Son of a bitch. Emma. Thompson.
Damn it.
Emma Thompson. Sorry, the answer was Emma Thompson.
Exorcism of Emily Rose. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
John Adams. I think that is one of her best roles.
Really? Who is she in John Adams?
Abigail Adams.
All right.
Yeah. And she nails it. So I think, but then, okay. Then she goes into her Having Fun series. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. She's Chief Vincent. Okay. Like just a side character. So she can do the fun too. I mean, she's got Ozark in there.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Ozark may put her up. This was a stupid question. It's Laura Linney. She's the better career.
BoJack Horseman.
I saw that. She did one episode and she played herself.
Yes. A series I never got through because it hit in a very depressing time for me.
Oh.
And I vibed with it really hard.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I think I have to leave this behind, which I think is kind of the part of the point of the show and BoJack's journey with himself.
I only watched two episodes and I turned it off.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I can't. I love Will Arnett.
Uh-huh.
I can't do Will Arnett for 44 episodes.
Oh, okay.
I can't do it. Like, it reminds me of the Batman, Lego Batman movie.
Okay.
He's the, like, we did a, Steve and I talked about this, about who our best Batmans were, our favorite Batmans. And we had to do our Mount Rushmore of Batmans. And my fourth one was Will Arnett as the voice of Batman.
Uh-huh.
And I said, but the problem with that is that I remember seeing the Lego Batman movie. And I remember thinking a half hour in, okay, I'm done. But there's still an hour of Will Arnett left. Jesus Christ.
Right. what? He's in Pop Star. Oh, he's the TMZ guy in Pop Star.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I could. You could cut out all those scenes.
The TMZ scenes?
Yeah.
What I like about those is that it reflects how we've taken all this information. We have to have people commenting on shit that you don't need commenting on.
Yeah.
That's all TMZ is. It's the echo wall that we're used to seeing. And if people look back at this time, they'll be like, yep, that was stupid. That was fucking stupid. And they treat it as though it is stupid.
Oh, Murderville.
She did Murderville.
No. Will Arnett did Murderville.
Oh, that's, I was going to say.
I was going to say, that's the other thing that I saw him in recently.
No, he's great in that.
It was an episode of Murderville.
Yeah, I love Murderville.
Yeah.
They need more episodes of that shit.
Yeah.
Although I think after the Sharon Stone episode, they might be like, we got to think about who we're bringing in because she doesn't seem right.
Who was the, I just rewatched the Marshawn Lynch one.
Talk about a guy who leans into it.
Yes.
Lynch is fantastic. That was the first one I saw. Cause okay. I was like, okay, Marshawn, this would be interesting.
Yeah.
And when he understands the premise at the beginning and then you realize, oh no, he's all in.
Yes.
And even, I think at one point, even Will Arnett's kind of surprised, like, shit, he's okay.
Towards the beginning of that one, he's dealing with Will Arnett's dealing with his uncle's ashes or his grandfather's ashes. And he says something about them being in the thing. And Marshawn takes it and he's like, shit. They fit a person in here? It's very good. He's been on some other stuff too that I really.
He's a national treasure.
He's a great personality.
He's a national treasure. Who just got arrested for a DUI.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's video of him just hanging out in the car going, go ahead and arrest me.
Oh, he's on the Great American Baking Show.
Marshawn Lynch is?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
And he's so happy to be there. He doesn't quite offset who is it that's there with him? Oh God. Is that the one that,
I've never watched a single episode of the Great American Baking Show.
I love the baking shows.
I don't fault anybody for it. I just know that there's other venues of entertainment than watching people make food I can't eat.
Go to a strip club.
No, it's like watching a strip club on TV.
It's even worse. It's one step worse.
Yes. And I'm sorry. It's like watching a strip club on TV and you have no access to your dick.
Yeah, right.
That's what watching a cooking show is.
You're like, I can't make any of this stuff on my own.
Like, look at that beautiful cake. I'm going to Sonic. I'm hungry.
I wouldn't mind some Sonic.
Sonic does sound good, actually. Yeah. Your thoughts on Jack Nicholson as an actor?
Jack Nicholson, the actor and filmmaker born in 1937, that particular fellow?
Not to be confused with Jack Nicholas.
Okay.
The golfer. He's been acting since 56.
He is, once again,
he is retired,
but more thorny than I had anticipated him being.
Thorny as in?
So the early period, he did stuff like some Roger Corman movies.
Okay.
I think some of the Poe adaptations, things like that in the late 50s, early 60s. His Little Shop of Horrors.
Wilberforce.
Speaking of, yeah.
Yeah. The Bill Murray role.
Yes. Is that right?
Yeah.
Cool. And then, what is it, like early 70s?
Let's see.
69 hits with Easy Rider.
Oh, don't forget Head.
He wasn't Head by the Monkees, yes.
By the Monkees. Yep. Uncredited, by the way.
But also a writer and producer. So he's got that going for him.
So I think, yeah, Easy Rider is the breakout.
Yeah, Easy Rider, Five Easy Pieces the following year, Carnal Knowledge, Drive, He Said, King of Marvin Gardens, Chinatown, Tommy.
But yeah. then he does One Flew Over and his star explodes. Because One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is a national treasure.
I mean, there's a strong showing before that.
There is. But it's this crescendo to this moment where it's like, he can do anything now.
Yeah. And, well.
Because he takes that and does The Shining.
After, probably after Batman, Cuckoo's Nest might have been my Jack. Because it would have been before I saw The Shining, I think.
I saw Cuckoo's Nest in middle school.
Yeah.
Like, at middle school.
Yeah.
I remember that was a movie you could actually watch in a middle school. So that was my first time I ever saw Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
And then Batman came out, I think, that same summer.
Okay.
So it was like, okay, that's the Joker? No, it's McMurphy.
Right.
I didn't see The Shining until I was an adult.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I love him as the devil in Witches of Eastwick.
That's very fun. I didn't watch that until a couple years ago.
Yeah. Daryl Van Horn.
He's great in Reds.
Yep.
That whole run. So really, we're already looking at 69 up through Batman.
At There's least. Postman Always Rings Twice.
I don't love that film.
No.
Nope, neither version of it. The book either.
Really?
Yeah.
What sets you off?
I don't know. There's something about it where it's a sleazy world. It's a sleazy genre.
Yes.
But there's something about it that I'm like, it's a little too icky. I did listen to I believe Lux Theater.
Okay.
Radio drama from after the first film was made. So I don't know if you know this, they would take cast members from the films and do a cut down version of like 30 or 45 minutes of the film script.
Okay.
As a radio drama.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there was a Lux radio version that cut out a lot of the stuff. And I liked that one.
We didn't mention Chinatown.
No. Why is that Chinatown?
I like Chinatown.
We didn't talk about it, but yeah, it's Chinatown.
Let's see. Broadcast news. Iron Reed. There's Batman. A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
That's in my top five Nicholson's.
His Hoffa is great.
Yes.
Wolf.
Wolf!
Wolf! Oh, shit. The Crossing Guard. I love that movie.
Freddie Gale.
His two Sean Penn movies I really like.
What were the two Sean Penns?
Crossing Guard and The Pledge.
The Pledge. I was just looking at that. Yeah, Jerry Black. Okay. Mars Attacks as President James Dale.
Yeah.
As Good as It Gets. There it is. Melvin Udall. And then About Schmidt was the other one I think he got a lot of acclaim for.
Yeah. That's a really good movie.
In fact, I think About Schmidt didn't, I think, what the fuck is her name? She was in Misery.
Oh,
Kathy Bates. Yeah. I think she was nominated for that one.
Yeah, too. I think so.
Yeah. Because she all got naked in a hot tub.
I was going to say she's naked in a hot tub with that. Yeah. Yeah.
Anger Management. He's such a good. Yeah. This is kind of when he was like, now I'm just going to have fun. I'm not worrying about anything else. Costello and the Departed.
He died funny. That's
I've asked you this before, I'm sure, but have you ever seen Matt Damon tell the story about the script rewrite for that Nicholson did?
No.
I'm going to pull it up right now. It's very short.
I love this little
Jack Nicholson you have and too. Scorsese. And we had a few hours together. And at one point, Marty got up to either use the bathroom or have a cup of coffee or something. And it was just me and Jack in the room. And he turned around and he goes, you know, I never would have made it this far in my career if I wasn't a great fucking writer.
Really?
Yeah. Out of nowhere. And really? It was the most. And I went like. And it was like everything clicked into place. And I went, of course, like, how do you have a 40-year career?
Right.
Without being able to put your own kind of imprimatur on something or, you know, right. Understand.
Fix it.
Yeah. Fix it or not touch a comma of it.
Right.
And, you know what I mean?
And, he knew it.
And be more often right than wrong. It's like, it's because he was a great writer. I'll give you one story. I've probably told you this because it's one of my favorite. It was my favorite thing that happened on The Departed about a scene that I was not in, but he was. And the scene said, it was 1/8 of a page, and it said, Costello, which is the name of his character, Costello executes man kneeling in the marshes, mm-hmm. right? So you go, okay. Now, most people look at that, and they'll go, all right, it's going to be one shot. You know, that's going to be an hour of work, and that's all I'm doing that day or whatever. He looked at that, and he goes, okay, I can do that, but I think I can make it better. And so he's telling me this story. He goes, so what I do is... He goes, I come from the Roger Corman school, so I'm not going to add any time and I'm not going to add to your budget. But instead of a man kneeling in the marshes, I make it a woman. And I go, oh, okay. And he goes, so I'm going to execute a woman, but I'm not going to be alone. I put Ray in the scene with me, and that's Ray Winston, who plays kind of his right hand mm-hmm. man, this brilliant, brilliant English actor. And he goes, so I put Ray in the scene with me. And I do the thing, and I shoot her in the back of the head, like it says in the script. But if you leave the camera rolling, after she falls, I turn to Ray and I say, geez, she felt funny. Now that's a really sinister thing to say. Because it means I do this a lot and there's a way people fall.
Right.
She didn't fall that way. And I go, I get it, man, I get it. Now, you could end the scene there, but if you leave the camera rolling, Ray steps forward, and he reveals that he's holding an axe. He's going to chop her up.
Oh, man.
Now, you could end the scene there. He goes, but if you leave the camera rolling, I turn to Ray and say, wait, I think I want to fuck her again. And he goes, no, that's a very sinister line. I get it. It's really, really, really disturbing. And he says, now you could end the scene. But if you keep the camera rolling, Ray stops and looks at me. And there's a pause. And I go, ah. Because that's a sinister thing to do because we're making a joke out of this whole thing. Yeah, I get it. He goes, now you could end the scene. But if you leave the camera rolling,
God.
Ray says, Francis, you really ought to see someone. And so that's what they did. He took this 1/8 of a page scene and he did all of that.
Yeah.
And they had two cameras on it so it could cut back and forth. And so, and what Marty ended up cutting was he shoots her, she falls. He says, geez, she fell funny.
Right.
And Ray looks at him and says, Francis, you really ought to see someone.
Right.
Right. So, but he just gave him all of these options.
Right.
Like, as dark and as sick as you want to go.
Yeah.
And he's playing a psychotic
right.
killer. The genius of Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he did. He started out writing and like directing and co-producing on those Corman films.
Yes. Yeah. The Roger Corman School of Writing. <Yep. laughs> But his last role, I was surprised, was 2010.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that early that he stopped acting. I thought he was still acting into the 15, but I'm remembering. I haven't seen him really since The Departed. That was the last time I saw him. I didn't see How Do You Know or I'm Still Here. That you saw I'm Still Here, right?
He's in I'm Still Here?
He plays himself.
Oh, okay. I do not recall that because it's been a decade or more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Joaquin acting weird, right?
Yeah.
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 Was the David Letterman thing that he did a joke?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
I just saw Letterman talking about that because Letterman was like notorious for being a crank and, you know, not really liking people.
I mean, all those late night guys are fake.
Yeah.
They all are. They all are.
But Letterman let it come through.
Well, yeah, he didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Right. To be fair, he'd been screwed over several times by the network. So. but I'm looking here at his list. It's like anger management. Something's got to give. The Departed. But sandwiched in between is the 76th Annual Academy Awards. He's in the opening segment as Gandalf.
Brilliant.
A Jack Nicholson Gandalf. How different would the Lord of the Rings have been?
Yeah. I haven't seen the spoof. I want to see the real thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's see. 2010. That was his last acting job. He's a producer in an upcoming movie.
What's that?
Blue Champagne?
That sounds fake.
It says post-production. Let's see. And there is no date for this to come out. There is a summary, though.
Who is it?
I don't know. There's literally just a summary. Diane Ladd, Jennifer Nicholson. Oh, I bet his daughter is in it, so he's getting producer credits.
Got it.
That's what it is. Oh, you sneaky bitch.
He's literally a producer.
And Jonathan Silverman is in it.
Okay.
Of Weekend at Bernie's fame.
Wasn't he in a sitcom as well?
Jack Nicholson?
No.
Jonathan Silverman. Yes, he was. It was... No, a little bit further back. Come on.
I know
the single guy.
The single guy.
That's what it was.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yes. Previous to that, he did Arliss. He was in an episode of Arliss.
Okay.
He was in Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the other Silverman.
he was in Hot in Cleveland.
Caddyshack 2. Boy, this guy's had a rough go. Jesus. I'm trying to find what's the best movie Jonathan Silverman's ever done.
Let's see. I can give you his highest rated movie.
Right now, I'm thinking Weekend at Bernie's.
Jonathan Silverman, also in Death Becomes Her.
Oh, okay. It was nominated for an Oscar.
That is his highest average rated movie.
Oh my God. He did the Hungover Games.
Oh God.
That's one of those like spoof movies.
A spoof movie of a comedy.
Oh my God.
How do you do that?
Diane and Divine Meet the Apocalypse. Benchwarmers 2, Breaking Balls.
The Odd Couple 2.
These are real titles.
The Farce of the Penguins.
And now in 2023, he's on a podcast series called Macaw.
Swinging with the Finkels.
Pegasus, Pony with a Broken Wing.
Sketch Artist 2, Hands That See.
I never thought I would say this, but Jonathan Silverman peaked with Weekend at Bernie's.
Just a Little Harmless Sex.
The Opposite Sex. He was a voice in Kim Possible.
Adventures in Christmasing.
Dirk and Betty. His role was tow truck guy.
The Inspectors 2, A Shred of Evidence.
Wait. He was in Little Big League?
Is he?
As Jim Bowers? Maybe that's the best movie he's done.
All right. I mean, technically, it might be Brighton Beach Memoirs. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun. his fourth role was on the show Give Me a Break.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Good times. Good times. Oh, Jonathan Silverman. That's a name I did not think we'd be looking at right now.
No.
Jonathan Silverman.
This is how the rabbit hole goes.
Oh, my gosh. I love the rabbit hole.